Welcome to the Swedish Innovation Podcast, where we export Swedish unicorness.
No buzzwords, just real life stories with Sweden's most innovative thinkers and doers. A podcast made by me, Sandra Bourbon.
And me, Sara Hermansson. Welcome back to our final episode in a mini-series that we do together with Swedish Mining Innovation in a collaboration. Our previous three episodes gave us deep dives in what type of mining we have in Sweden compared to the rest of the world and what we import and export. Then it was followed by an episode with focus on social innovation. And our latest episode, we focused on circular economy and recycling in the mining industry. Today, in our final episode, we will broaden our view and we will talk about why Sweden is so innovative and how can we boost innovation within the mining industry. And also, can you direct in which field we should be innovative? Jenny Greberg invited Darja Isaksson, who is the Director General at Vinnova, to discuss these topics with us. So let's get started. Hi, and welcome back to Swedish Innovation Podcast. And hi, Jenny, how are you doing?
Hi, Sara, I'm good. Thank you very much.
So this is our final episode in collaboration with Swedish Mining Innovation. And how has it feel doing the first three episodes? Any recalls or things you want to highlight?
No, I think it's been great. I'm so glad that we could have the list of guests that we've had in this series, and today we will have the final guest, which is going to be very good. And I think that we have touched upon several subjects related to raw materials and innovation that's super important to talk about and also to make sure that more people know about. So I'm very happy about this.
Yeah, and I learned a lot, and I know many of the listeners also commented and that they got new insights and maybe got aware of part of a supply chain they didn't even think so much about before. So I think it's very good awareness episodes we have done so far. And a reflection also that we got was if the mining industry in Sweden is very female dominant, because so far it's only been females in our episodes. What do you say, Jenny? Is it female dominant?
Not enough, I should say.
No.
No, I mean, actually, as a sector, the share of women is increasing in this sector quite rapidly, actually. And I think it's because most of the companies are very aware of this, that it's, of course, a critical thing for being able to recruit competent people. We can't disqualify the females. So I think all of our companies in this sector has increased their share of women quite a lot recently. So that's good. But we haven't reached the target 40-60 yet, so still some work to do.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for the insight. Okay, but I think we should go over to today's subject and guests. So we have the honor to have Darja Isaksson from Vinnova with us today, who's the Director General there. And what's the connection between Vinnova and Swedish Mining Innovation, Jenny, and why Vinnova? Can you give a short intro to that?
Well, of course, Vinnova, together with Formas and Energimyndigheten, is the initiative takers to the 17 national strategic innovation programs that we have in Sweden, and Swedish Mining Innovation being one of them. And Vinnova is the main funding agency for Swedish Mining Innovation and contributes with 50% of the resources that we have, and our partnership contributes with the rest. So Vinnova is a very, very important body for us and for mining innovation in Sweden in general.
Okay, good. But that also gives an explanation on how you are connected then. So let's welcome her in. Hello, Darja, and welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Hello. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. And we need to go in directly, your connection to mines. Have you ever visited a mine?
Absolutely. Well, the last mine I visited was in Kirunavara. I visited mines in Malmberget and Bergslagen in Sweden as well, but that was long ago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and do you have any favorite mine?
Trick question. I'd say my absolute favorite mine would be the one of tomorrow. And I believe that the mine of the future is well underway. I hope we'll dig into that. That would be a mine that's completely fossil free, radically autonomous, and part of a world leading circular industry. I think it's great to talk about it just because modern mines are pretty amazing places already. And more importantly, they're an essential resource in our journey towards a sustainable and resilient society, because I think you touched on this in previous episodes, right? But the metals and minerals that we get from our mines are needed everywhere. There are 62 different metals just in your mobile phone. The battery industry that we are currently building over the next decade is likely to become the second biggest industry in Sweden. Already highly international competitive, is completely reliant on very important minerals and metals. Phosphor, for instance, is another thing that we get from mines that is essential for fruit production all over the world. So, you know, wherever you look around you, the resources we get from mines are essential. And what I think is kind of interesting is that the development that we see in Sweden right now is really driving, it's high tech, it's highly innovative, and it's really driving the transformation to circular and sustainable industries, which is absolutely what we need right now.
Yeah. So the favorite mine of yours doesn't exist yet. I guess it's a challenge for the ones out there to create it.
Let's just say I'm proud and honored to lead the innovation agency that is one piece in the puzzle to try to help enable that. And yes, we are moving in that direction.
Mm. Because we need to go into that. Vinnova maybe is not, familiar for our listeners and also listeners outside of Sweden. So what is Vinnova? Very briefly.
Vinnova is the Swedish Innovation Agency, meaning that the mandate that we have from the government, the way it's formulated by government, is to promote sustainable growth through funding, needs-driven research and innovation, and the development of effective innovation systems. That means that we work with research and innovation in a very broad sense, related to challenges in sustainable industries, societies, food and health systems, but also in supporting then research in emerging technologies and typically the high risk, high potential collaborations within these areas between big and small companies, academia, public sector. So we also support startups and scale ups that can contribute to help drive this transformation. Another thing that we do then is also connect the talent and the opportunities in Sweden to other parts of the world. So we have innovation partnerships with many other countries, and we also make sure that research and researchers and innovative companies can get support from us in also building really ambitious collaborations with partners in other countries. Of course, a lot through the program Horizon Europe, which is the world's biggest research and innovation program supported by EU. Mm-hmm. So just to give you a broad sense.
Yeah, it sounds very broad. But can you determine and do you use then, it sounds like you have the possibility to use, grants to direct innovation in different areas where we lack innovation, or which areas are you supporting the most or see as very valuable?
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, if you look at mining, for instance, at the topic of today, we work closely with industry and academia to, first of all, set the priorities, understand the needs and the opportunities. So typically, such as what we heard previously, those are the collaborations that help set the priorities. And within mining, that means that we support the full kind of journey in all steps with a focus on research and innovation. So that means, for instance, helping industry to get access to and benefiting from world-leading research infrastructure that enables research at the very atom level. We support research and innovation in the early prospecting and regulation, and then onward to promoting fossil-free and highly optimized mining operations, which is about automation, about electrification, about optimization, and then towards enabling recycling and circular material flows. So You can just think of it through the whole value chain, or you can think about it in terms of what kinds of collaborations will be needed to accelerate the transformation. And then again, the priorities in where to actually invest the most is typically set together in collaboration between academia and industry, to make sure that it's needs driven.
Mm-hmm. And what led you to Vinnova? What was your background previously, and what brought you
there? There could be a long story that would include over a decade of leading teams and product innovations in various areas such as consumer electronics, retail, telecom. And even further back, growing up in my dad's lab because he was working with research in telecom. But then an increasing interest in the systems perspective, what makes innovation possible in the first place? A little bit near term, I would say I applied for this job because I understood that Vinnova is a valuable piece in the puzzle for strengthening our joint ability to really build, let's say, our competitiveness on innovation that accelerates this transformation. That's what really drives me. When we transform to systems within the planetary boundaries, when we do that thinking really carefully about the social sustainability, then we will benefit the prosperity of both people and planet. And innovation, in the meaning radically improved technology, products, work practices, even in regulation, that's how we're going to do it. So, of course, I could not imagine a better job than this. It's a lot of fun.
It sounds like right person for the job also then. I think
trying. You'll have to ask other people about that.
Well, but we need to touch base at least if this is then the innovation agency in Sweden, and Sweden are top on many of the lists when it comes to innovative countries and like having a lot of successful startups and ideas and so on, and also industry. What do you think? Why? What's our key success, and why are we so good at this in Sweden, according to these lists?
In spite of being only 10 million people?
Yes.
Well, the story that we often repeat, because I think we are many people getting that question every now and then, has a few key points. One, we are a country where both the private and the public sector since decades have really made investing into research and innovation a priority. Because we all understand that's kind of the key to having access to skilled people. Another thing has to do with, and it's really nice when you see this in reality, our ability to collaborate across silos. So across sectors, across industries, big and small. And I think that ability has a lot to do with a high level of trust that we have in our society and this willingness to really work for a win-win scenario together. So that makes a big difference. Then, of course, it's about a culture. It's always about people. I mean, the long tradition of having entrepreneurs, it's about their drive, their knowledge, their willingness to also from day one always think about the world. We are too small to think about our own home market, so we are typically thinking about what are the challenges out there, what kind of value can we bring to the world. So that's another key component. So that kind of mentality is really what has been driving us this far, I would say.
Interesting. So I heard one of them before that you say with collaboration and people, and I know and I agree, especially when you look into like the primary school, the first thing you're taught is grupparbete, or like working groups, and you get your grade based on these grupparbeten, and sometimes it's frustrating for some people to do always work in teams and, you know, not be judged as an individual compared to other countries where the school system might be very individualistic, but I guess it gives some fruit when we get older that we are used to teamwork and collaboration.
Yeah, but it also, and coming back to the trust part, and I think actually many of the leading multinationals in Sweden, since they also have this, I recall just listening to some advanced AI talent that came to Sweden from another country saying that they were amazed at the level of openness, bringing them, they could really quickly get access to the real problems in industry, get access to high quality, really in-depth data that would be really difficult for them to get access from their experience in other collaborations. So this kind of level of trust and willingness to collaborate is real. It creates real opportunities to kind of work on problems that would be maybe more difficult to get the opportunities to work on in other parts of the world.
Yeah. And regarding mining then, I mean, again, we're a very small country, but still we're very, what we said in the first episode, like an exporter of mining knowledge compared to how little mining we actually do have in our country. Do you think it's a similarity here, looking at how long forward we are in the mining knowledge industry?
I mean, I'm looking at you here to dig in, Jenny, but yes, and just to give you another example then, I mean, mining today is really high tech, you know, starting from really understanding materials at the atom and molecular level to driving operations that are highly autonomous, super advanced. And then again, that to do that, you need cross-industry collaborations. And then again, Sweden has a strength. So with Ericsson being a world leader in connectivity, with ABB being world leaders in robotics, industrial optimization, those types of collaboration create really, really interesting opportunities in the mining space and others.
Hmm. What's your view, Jenny?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think Daria formulated it very well. And I mean, if we look at our volumes that we produce or mine in Sweden, they are very, very small compared to the giants out there. But I think that collaboration, like Daria mentioned, between all these different types of equipment and system suppliers and the mining operations, that's the key success factor. And we've had to do this because our competitors, if you look at LKAB, they're competitors on the iron ore production. They dig the iron ore basically from the ground, and LKB has to go 2,000 meters below ground to get it. So we have to be much better, much more efficient, much more sustainable, and all this in order to do this. So I think that has driven us also to be very efficient and to always be hungry for new solutions. We've had to do this, otherwise we would not be competitive. And in order to be able to do this, innovation is needed, and we do this through collaboration. So it's sort of it's a system. And then combine this with the very, I would say, long-term efforts that has been a strategic decision from our government for many years now to actually boost our innovation ability in Sweden through different support functions and through Vinnova and other agencies. I think that's sort of, that creates the whole system that is the key to success.
Mm. And if I'll pitch in, so for instance, what these established multinational companies know is the value of working also with small, highly innovative startups and scale-ups, which, you know, you can find them all over the world. And that's another thing, that we also work all the time with international partnerships to create opportunities for instance, very tangible, just matchmaking, you know, making these talents wherever they are get the opportunity of finding their potential first customer, and many of the Swedish multinationals can be really relevant customers to help innovative companies scale. So for that perspective, for instance, at Vinnova we have an event called Sweden Innovation Days, which is an international digital matchmaking event helping talent find relevant problems to customers within industry. So that's another example.
Interesting. And it sounds then more like, I mean, there's a new way of also creating new businesses and creating new industries. Not about here is a bag of money, go and do your idea real. It's more about also, I mean, creating connections and maybe ecosystems and matching people to others to make it happen.
Absolutely. I mean, the money matters in the state, that the state has an important role to play in, let's say, providing additional funding so that you can take high risk, high reward the really early stages before private money is willing to take that level of risk. You know, when the actual outcome, no, this didn't work, we're going to have to really try something else, is an equally valuable result as a success. So that's the role of, and I mean, most all, I would say, developed economies have these types of funding opportunities. But yes, all of us also work with continuously evolving practices in relation to the supporting functions. Like, how do we make it easy to get access to each other, to networks, to knowledge, to advanced infrastructure and technologies that you don't otherwise have access to, etc. So of course, it's complementary tools we need to use.
Because regarding money, we actually got a question from a listener in the earlier episodes who said, okay, well, I mean, mining, great, but it feels very expensive. And if you're going to start up a new business or do something new in it, it really needs a lot of money. It's compared to just, you know, code two people in a garage for a software company. And how can this be, I mean, supported and stimulated? It's here where the money from the government comes in.
I mean, first of all, business to consumer, software-based business to consumer solutions can also cost a lot of money to scale. Netflix didn't come cheap to their world domination position, or, you know, you could do that kind of analysis. But yes, it's true that if we're talking about deep tech innovation, so highly connected to research, very important innovation in relation to new materials or next generation AI technologies or quantum computing or whatnot, a lot of these things they are high risk over a long time. So in that sense, they require investments and very patient funding. But they also, at some point, if you look at the battery industry that's now exploding and growing, yes, at some point you come to where you need to invest in the first factory. So in that sense, it's capital intensive. And if you look at the European innovation agenda right now, it's very clear that there's a huge opportunity for Europe and very concretely for Sweden in the space of these types of innovations that will drive the industrial transformation. It's absolutely essential. We cannot negotiate with the planet. We will still need food. We will need, you know, great spaces to live in that promotes our health. We will need to transport goods and people, but in sustainable ways. And all of this requires innovation. So yes, there is an important role for the state, but it's really in collaboration. It's private, public and private together will be needed. So it's, in a way, a different ballgame, and it really requires established industry and startups to work together. So if coming back to the mine as an example, if you're a startup, you're not necessarily a startup starting a new mining operation, but you might be a startup providing some really important, valuable innovations needed in that environment, and collaborations with actors in there can help you grow in an international context.
Mm. So, as we talked before, Jenny, to see the mine as a playground to test your new stuff, or maybe actually the place where to grow your business that you might have looked at, say, on the regular word, so to say, as, okay, here I can put in my technology. But if you look into the mine as an actual customer, it might be even more valuable.
Yeah, I think so. And I think we talked about this, I think, in one of the previous episodes, that the mines acting as test beds. They have done this before. We called it test beds, basically, and been very, I would say, brave and let small companies in to try their solutions. I think we have very good examples from all our mining companies that are present in Sweden now, how they do this. And I mean, the reason for this is, of course, that they are doing everything they can to be cost efficient and to increase their productivity. And I have to say that the last 10 years, we've seen a very big increase also in the SMEs working with environmental solutions and solutions for energy efficiency and trying to help the big companies to improve those areas as well. So I think it's fantastic to see this system working. And I think, again, that our mining operations, mining companies are quite brave and are doing this in a very good way.
And I think one of the things that's really inspirational right now is that we're working towards goals with really high societal relevance. It will help drive the places where we live, like what are really the opportunities created by a mining industry that is part of the backbone in driving a circular economy and a truly sustainable industry. And that's where we see the collaborations happening now, from mining to, you know, the energy transformation to the industries that are actually both producing and then using the materials and the end products. And when these kind of actors work together, that's where we can achieve this transformation of society. And in that sense, I'm also very happy that I see that companies in Sweden are leaders. They are really at the front in the world. And that's very inspirational, I think, to get to work in that context where everybody understands that these are complex challenges and we can only solve them by working together.
Yeah, and I also need to mention, I think it's, I mean, we've all been putting all our companies and the cluster has been putting a lot of effort towards, you know, decreasing our climate impact, of course, and they're still doing it. But a couple of years ago, we also developed within the cluster and with the support of Vinnova a roadmap for decreased impact on biodiversity, which is probably an equally big threat to the planet as the climate impact. And now we see a lot of projects coming from that initiative and from that being a more, you know, I would say question in focus in the company. So the mining cluster is joining forces with some other sectors in order to make sure that we not only not impact the biodiversity negatively, but instead actually impacting it positively. And I think what's going to come from that initiatives and all the following projects and efforts, that's going to be really interesting to follow.
Mm, definitely. And maybe I think biodiversity, it's in one way maybe more difficult to measure also. With CO2, we usually say, okay, it's CO2 in this amount of tons of CO2 equivalent. And I guess biodiversity is more tricky to say grasp in that sense.
You're perfectly right. And that's why the first two projects we had based out of this roadmap is actually projects aiming to measure this in a good way. What kind of KPIs should we use and so on.
Very interesting. We had another question from a listener. And so back to the first episode where we talked about the critical, the list of critical minerals and metals that we've written down in EU. I think there were 30 of them. Okay, so based on that list, we know, okay, these are the critical ones. How do we ensure we boost innovation in those areas? Or like, are those metals and minerals particularly difficult to mine? Do they need other type of technology? Or how could we connect that type of list to innovation? Maybe, Jenny, you know if it's a special type of mining required for these.
Yes, it is, or it's a special type of extraction, I should say. They are normally byproducts from mining other commodities, such as iron ore or copper. But then we need, I would say, developed extraction methods to actually extract those type of materials from what we mine already. So, yes, and we haven't done this so much in Sweden because we have been importing it, like the rest of Europe, for instance, rare earth elements from China and from other countries. We are 100% import dependent. And we talked about this also in a previous episode, that this is bad in many ways, not just for sustainability reasons, but of course for geopolitical reasons. So the urgency or the need to be able to do this within Sweden has been very much highlighted and increased. So I think this need is driving also the development in this area in Sweden. And we see a lot of initiatives now from our actors to do this more and better.
Interesting. Cool. And we talked a lot about the advantages in Sweden and why we're innovative. But what can we do better? What is actually lacking? Or what are our struggles, would you say, Darja?
I mean, there are always ways to improve. From my perspective, already what we're seeing is a big shift I would say that for the last years, you clearly see that companies are setting their priorities determined to accelerate the transformation. And as we said, it's to sustainable and resilient ecosystems. And that's not only about climate, biodiversity, social sustainability, et cetera. So that is the most important change. And then that what the enablers needed in terms of anything from data to automation, et cetera, are being built. But I would say that we know that we need to continue even maybe making even bigger efforts in terms of strategic priorities, in terms of research and innovation. But one of the key elements, I think, also it has to do with this, the ability to collaborate with even more complexity, if you will. So what used to be more linear processes in terms of technology, innovation, becoming products, then pushing regulation, you know, that needs to be changed, et cetera. So things like that need to happen more in parallel. So to really accelerate this transformation, we need a next step in our ability to work together at the local to regional to international level. Because to drive the transformation, you're going to need permit, you're going to need innovation and those types of collaboration. You're going to need the permits and authorization processes to work in parallel, to supply energy, to make the, you're going to need to develop new practices in relation to regulation, for instance, regulatory sandboxes that are being used as a tool in different parts of the world. So absolutely, I think that we are well underway, but we will need to also continue to involve how we address many of the perspectives more at the same time to speed things up. And another thing that I think is kind of important that Jenny made, an important point, is what is accelerating this is the combination of, you know, after pandemic, extreme weather, cyber attacks, really shaking global supply chains, increasing the urgency of building resilience, but also understanding that, you know, money spent on evolving a business has to do with aiming at the future demand. And the future demand is about the solutions to the challenges ahead. So the shift in priorities in industry, the shift in the way we work together has started, but we have more to do.
Mm. Yeah, I fully agree, of course, with what Daria said. But I also want to add, I think one, when we talk with representatives from the cluster who works with us in Swedish Mining Innovation with trying to boost innovation, and we talk about the main challenges, we normally don't talk about the technology or the social innovation. We talk about the access to human resources and competence. And we know that our education system in Sweden and in many other countries have some sort of inertia built into it. We can't sort of turn it around very fast or quickly. So I think a big challenge is to match the needs from the innovation system, the industry, with what we can produce from our education system and how we can recruit from other countries and make sure that talents or everyone comes to join us in our struggle to be, I mean, to meet society's need and to meet these global challenges that we have. So I think that, I guess that's a question I leave to Daria and her colleagues to talk with other parts of the system in Sweden. But here we see a mismatch. We don't produce as many people with the right skills that we need for this transition right now. And I don't know how to solve it, but it is a big challenge.
It is a challenge, and we share it with many other parts of the world, because there's a huge need for a lot of important new skills. But I'll just, maybe you'll be happy to hear that I just came out of another meeting addressing that very, and also some of the actors you are working with are driving some really ambitious projects together with some of the leading universities in doing that. But having said that, I hope also, you know, it's a typical Swedish thing to maybe be a bit humble and want to walk the talk before we sell our goods or whatever you would want to say. But I'm hoping this podcast also is part of, you know, helping making clear that there are some really excellent opportunities for talent in Sweden, and you will come to environments where you have a high level of collaboration. It's going to be really easy to get access to opportunities here, so that's another part.
Yeah,
but absolutely, Jenny, and then last thing, that's that's what at Vinnova we're now developing the next generation strategic innovation programs. That's what it's about, really getting the collaborations needed to drive both the competencies and the innovation and the other aspects that are necessary. So we're looking forward to see how these actors form their second generation agendas based on the understanding of the challenges we have right now.
And I guess, as you said there, it's two things. One is to open up the eyes for Sweden, for others. But it's also, I guess, about open up the eyes, the importance of mining. Because what I see is, I mean, many in the younger generation is very caring for a planet, very driven to work one way or another for sustainability, and therefore maybe also exclude getting involved in mining because you see it as a very unsustainable business. You read headlines in newspapers about how mines are very bad for the environmental planet. And I read somewhere that only 25% of the Swedish people think an electric vehicle is more sustainable than a regular, I mean, with an internal combustion engine, which I would say most research show it's completely wrong. The electric vehicle is almost in all cases more sustainable. But why do we have that view? Maybe because it's the new thing of it, and we see this mines with very poor conditions, and we see is it something that I don't want to be involved. This is like dirty business. This is not for me. So I guess it's two parts of it, showing the need of mining and kind of, I don't know, encourage others to be part of a solution. And that means you need to be part of a problem, I guess.
Yeah, but also, I mean, admitting that, so if we'll come to the example with the vehicles. Yes, electric vehicles are a lot better from an environmental climate perspective. However, if we will use them the same way that we built on these previous societies' cars, they will not be, that change is not enough. The mobility system we need also needs to be optimized in a completely other level, using shared resources, optimizing them, where optimization, for instance, creates opportunities. So we need to admit that the end goal is not just about electric vehicles. It's about an optimized mobility system that also helps us be healthy. We need actually to also, in order to have a welfare society, stay healthier, we need to walk more, we need to take bikes more, we need to share resources in terms of transport and optimize them better. So I would say that both things are true. And it's the same thing with mines, that even when they are fully, you know, automized and have even less or even positive impact on biodiversity or etc., for them to have the societal impact that we really need, they also need to be part of truly circular material flows. And to be able to achieve that, we're going to need civil society. We're going to need other types of solutions in our everyday lives. But what's encouraging is that this is not, the mining industry understands it and actually helps drive that change. And being part of the solution is important. But we have to admit that it's, you know, the solution is also a different paradigm. Hmm. It's not linear extraction anymore. It won't work in the long run.
No, very wise. And I think that's a good way of putting it, that not only changing one thing for the other, but kind of rethinking the way the system works and how we live also, I guess.
And that's also, I think in industry, there's a true commitment to help drive that. So if we're talking about mining and the contribution to phosphor and food systems, everybody knows that it also has to do with how we use the phosphor and how we create circularity in the flows, etc. So if you would get engaged in this type of innovation context, you will be working with kind of a portfolio perspective, I would say, on these issues.
Yes, and of course, I mean, it's all about a sustainable supply of raw materials. I mean, whatever amount of or what commodities of raw materials that we need. I mean, we have to make sure, what do we use and how do we use it, but then also supply it sustainably. And so mining is a bit of a too narrow word here. I want to talk more about supply of raw materials, because then we also include the circularity with recycling, but also with extraction of more from what was previous mine waste. So it's all about being, I think, resource efficient. And we know, we also touched upon this in the first episode of this miniseries, that even if we would recycle 90% of the iron ore that we use, we would still need to have at least the same amount of primary production in 50 years from now that we have now, because the world is developing, more people need access to infrastructure and want to erase their living conditions and so on. So it is a, we actually had a really interesting design sprint a few weeks ago with representatives from the science centers that we have in Sweden, many of them, I think 12 of them were represented on this event, together also with the Royal Engineering Academy for Sciences, what's that called in English? And we talked about this wicked problem that we all need metals, but no one wants mines. And how do we solve this, given the climate challenge that we have, given the biodiversity, given all this? And it was really interesting to hear their solutions to this, and how we can raise awareness, how we can create interest to make sure that more people come and help us solve these challenges. But the fact is that we will have to have primary mining for many, many years to come. So we have to be smarter as humanity and how we use these metals. So I fully agree with Daria. It's a problem that we have to attack from many sides.
And I think when it comes to being, when you become aware of how much these types of real world, real industry changes and innovations are part of the building the society that we want to need, I find it difficult to think it's not super inspirational. So I think maybe some of the people who don't want it simply didn't get a chance to be part of that kind of context, because once you're there, it's really exciting.
No, definitely. I think these talks has been very inspirational. And it sounds like, I mean, I'm thinking both about how we're describing how Vinnova works and Swedish mining innovation are working, that it's more about clusters, ecosystems, collaboration, and that's also been part of the Swedish success. It sounds similar in the way of living as a private person. You should go from individual, I own my car, I produce, I consume, etc., to see that you're part of an ecosystem, and this is about collaboration. You share your car, you think of, I don't know, maybe going back even further, we are pack animals. We are part of living in a pack, and that's our strength as a species. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not the fastest species, we're not the strongest species, we're not the biggest species, but in the fact that we actually could collaborate very, very long back made us, I think, to the place where we are today, the dominant species. And maybe we need to go back and understand what type of pack or society do I live in, and how should I, you know, give and take in that part, maybe.
I'm just smiling and agreeing.
Yeah. Well, a final words from you. What would you say, Daria, is your advice or top tip to the listeners that want to go from idea to reality, that maybe listen to this and gotten inspired? How do you, I don't know, switch path in life or dare to go from idea to reality with Vinnova hat on?
I mean, it depends completely on, you know, what the, I to give an advice to everyone, regardless of place in life or idea or type of company, I would say, so reach out and engage. As an innovation agency, obviously, it's our role also to show the opportunities that are available. So from my perspective, get in touch would be a good first step, and you can expect to get somebody to tell you about the opportunities where you can take the next step.
Mm-hmm. And Jenny, we need some final words from you also now, and this is the last episode and everything. How do you think this miniseries has been, and how do you find it?
Well, I think we have, through this four episodes, highlighted quite a lot on I mean, what we need to do as a species in order to actually, you know, I mean, we smile about it, all three of us here. I see you on the screen, but it is that's the fact that we don't have too many years to turn things around. And I think the way to do it is through collaboration, through supporting systems like the one we have in Sweden, and to keep this trust and openness to bring things forward. And I think it's also very important to have a reason, a why. I talked about that in some of the previous episodes, and whatever your why is, if it is related to sustainability, securing the good life that we have and securing the planet, I think working somewhere related to metals and minerals is very relevant. So please get in contact if you're interested. And my why is quite obvious. I first did this because I was interested in mathematics and optimization and things like that. And now it's like, no, we can really make a difference here because we are in Sweden leading this development with sustainable metal production and sustainable supply of metals and minerals. And what we do here is really affecting what others are doing in the rest of the world in a very positive way. So please join us. That's the only thing I can say.
Sounds good. Well, a big thank you, Darja, for being a guest in this podcast. And a big thank you for you, Jenny, for initiating this whole collaboration and doing these episodes with me. It's been really great. I really enjoyed it. So, yes, big thank you to both of you. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you like what we're doing, remember to subscribe. And if you really like our podcast, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. Remember, innovation is what makes the impossible possible, and it will all start with you.